Delango, this is Connecticut Taco. What you're about to hear is a Human Rights Radio exclusive presentation that was first aired Monday, February 11, 2002, at 11:30 p.m. entitled The Human Rights Patrol Part Number 53, Rome. Your host will be out of the Criminal Enterprise called Springfield, Illinois, war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, runaway slave, Kaka Mbana Kintako. Have a pleasant flight.
Sam does know he owes our folk a big time debt. He knows
says lights can't help him. True star weapon will collect.
We're talking reparations. That's right, we know we are old.
Cause for 11 generations in here we were bought in. So
see, this crook called Sam did come up when he made our folks his slaves.
His posse did the same in Europe, and yes, they too must pay.
The lesson, the mind on thyself will help us all move forward.
We're taught it will teach us by self to rise to tote the torch.
Like those days we were to be down, yet unhooked from our souls.
Seeking truth will turn that around with the human rights patrol.
We know that we have rights. That's right, rights at our birth. That's right, those rights are human rights. They show our purpose on this earth. It's time we know that we have rights. That's right, rights at our birth. That's right, those rights are human.
People's Choice Human Rights Radio, giving praise to our uncreated creator for allowing us to still be with you for our 4,619th night of broadcasting. Still in the place to be with we out of the criminal enterprise called Springfield, Illinois, war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, co-producer of this Human Rights Radio Internet co-creation we call the Human Rights Patrol. I'm Dumb, my Dada Kanata can talk on Zalango to you over there.
Zalango.
You know, you got to share with the folks, though, that list of folks that make it possible for so many folks to hear the Human Rights Patrol across the criminal enterprise called the United States and around the planet Earth. All those cities, 8 different cities now, growing. Go ahead.
First, let's say Zalango to Human Rights Radio at 94.3 FM with Kaka Inko Yuhuru and the listeners in the criminal enterprise called Durham, North Carolina, and the listeners in the criminal enterprise called Decatur, Illinois at 99.9 FM. Human Rights Radio brought by Brother Lavelle. Also to those who listen at 103.3 FM, BVHP in the criminal enterprise called Bayview, Hunters Point, California with Kaka Michael Hibbert and the crew, and at 96.3 FM in the criminal enterprise called Santa Cruz, California, those who listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz with B-Man and their staff. Let us also shout out to the folks who listen to Berkeley Liberation Radio run by Paul Griffin and the crew. And to our newest listeners in the criminal enterprise called Dade County, Florida at 102.9 FM, Zalango. And at this time, let me remind you, wherever you're listening, to thank those who made it possible. And also invite all of you to check us out on the Real Wide Web at www.radio.about.com. Look for the Human Rights Information Network. Click on and hear even more Human Rights Radio.
And big, also, let me copy that Kanati said about the folks that make it possible for you to hear the Human Rights Patrol. Let them know you appreciate it, because they some trench warriors and they need some support sometimes. And a word of confidence, it go a long way. Take it from a brother that's been out here for a minute on this here move. All right, you know, Dada Kanati, before you get away, I wanted you to share with the people the vitals on an article that we came across here in the criminal enterprise called Springfield. For your West Coast listeners, it's from the San Francisco Chronicle. Give them the title. Give them the vitals on that, warrior.
It's from the San Francisco Chronicle, Friday, the 11th day of the first month, 2002. And it's entitled, Caves, Ancient Treasure, 77,000-year-old artifacts could mean human culture began in Africa.
Now, of course, everybody already know the real about that. That's an old story that it does. But what they even in this story, though, they say that they got evidence that 130,000 years ago, African people, 35,000 years ago, African people were kicking it, painting and stuff like that. You know, painting is not something you do, you know, on a savage tip off top. The first painters were not savages. You know, savages ultimately learned to paint, but their first painters were not savages, so don't trip. So if you're going to trip on this whole thing about, the European story that they came out the Dark Ages 500 years ago and came up, and this article here points out that African people were kicking it live 135,000. Now, our elders told us we're 5 million years old, but I know y'all don't want to hear that. But this here article from the San Francisco Chronicle says that we're at least 135,000 years old. Let's say we took 10 times longer to come out the Dark Ages than go to the moon than the white folks did from Europe. then we would have still been out like 80,000, 85,000 years ago on the moon or something, wouldn't we? Huh? Nah. All right. I ain't going to try to argue with him. Kanadi, thanks a lot for sharing that. And I'm going to, in case folks forget it, why don't you give them the vitals on that again real quick.
It's from the San Francisco Chronicle, Friday, the 11th day of the first month, 2002, by David Perlman, entitled Caves, Ancient Treasure, 77,000-year-old Artifacts Could Mean Human Culture Began in Africa.
There goes Kanadi making her way to the area where she will monitor the situation and make sure we don't try to run past 30 minutes long, because we're still trying to get used to the 30-minute format. Thank you very much, Warrior. We'll talk at you in a few here. And tonight we're going to talk about Rome, you know. That was about 2,000 years ago. And, you know, when you get through hearing all these different stories of creation these different folks got, they got a lot of nerve, African people, that want to trip with us about our spiritual way of looking at life. They got a lot of nerve to trip with us. You got this one group that call themselves Mankind. They go off on this trip to Darwin, the Darwin theory of evolution. That, orangutan 16 million years ago, gorillas 8 million years ago, monkeys 5 million years, you know, stupid stuff like that. Then they ultimately got to be people. Then you got these one group of folks that said the men was made out of dirt and then their women was made out of their ribs. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, why in the world would you even trip on African people's explanation of how we came to be? And then now this story of Rome, I was looking in the library. I didn't, should have prepared earlier, but it's going to still be, if the creators will, it's going to still be a good little get together here for us to learn some things. Talking about Rome tonight, I was looking for a piece of tape, and I know I got several, but it's not like a whole thing. But talking about the story that started Rome. Now, because I wanted the white people to say it themselves, because I know when I tell you this, you're saying, man, you got to be crazy. Okay, but here's what happened. Some old girl and old dude was squabbing for whatever the reason. So, you know, the story of the babies being put in the basket and put in the river for safety, the two boys. That's the story of how Rome got started. These two boys got put in the basket by their mama, and they floated down a river, and a wolf dog mama found the babies and raised them up. That's Romulus and Remus, and so began Rome. Now, you know, why in the world can't we say anything? And you're going to come out and tell me that began Rome. But whatever, I'm not going to argue with it. If that's what your culture is based on, more power to you, right? But, you know, hey, trip on this. We're going to be about the business of searching for ours without permission. Check out, isn't that something? Boy, they can't even imagine that one. But anyhow, we're going to go to Rome here, and we're going to pick it up on what life was like for, like, the average Roman. Got this program from the Discovery Channel, and we're going to sample some different pieces of tape of it. I don't know how much time we'll have today, but we'll try to get as much of it in. But it really gives a different view of what you thought about Rome. First, let's deal with this cat they was talking about mostly in this particular piece. They call it Marcus, you know. And he's talking about how life would have been in a city under the Roman Empire other than Rome for folks back in that day.
Marcus would have grown up in a society that was increasingly polarized. He would have seen some families getting richer, while poorer families lost their independent status. In the countryside, peasant farmers were bought out by the wealthy and sucked into the cities. Many country towns around Rome became ghost towns, and an urban tradesman like Marcus lived a very different life from the independent countrymen of bygone times. He would have had nowhere to grow his own vegetables or keep a pig. He may not even have had anywhere to do his cooking. He would have been dependent on earning cash to buy food. And in the streets of Pompeii, we can see how Marcus's life would have been very different from his predecessors.
And yet another bar. I mean, that must be about the... This must be about the 50th bar we've come across.
Well, there's lots of them. Maybe they like to drink there.
In Pompeii, it seems as if almost every other shop is a bar or a quick snack counter. The urban poor, crowded into small apartments without the means or time to cook their own meals, generally relied on fast food and ready-made snacks from the cook shops. And what exactly would Marcus have eaten? Suzanne Evans, an expert on Roman cookery, took me to buy a typical Roman lunch.
So he would probably live mainly on things like cabbage.
Cabbage, we got cabbage here.
Yeah. You definitely garlic. I think we should have a couple of garlics. Okay.
Did everybody eat garlic?
Well, no. I think he would generally try to spice up his rather bland diet, but it was included in many recipes as it is today.
Tomatoes, should we?
No, sorry, no tomatoes. Mexico tomatoes.
So, all these Italian sauces.
Sorry,
and things,
can't have any of those.
Can't have any.
Nope,
all the tomatoes.
None of those. Nope.
Rice.
Very rich people had rice. A good rice. Trade link with Asia, so, but no rice for
Rice Margaret, would have been rice would have been a sort of again a luxury.
Absolutely luxury. Those gluttonous rich Romans eating that.
Look at them eating rice.
Okay.
Now look, see the average Roman. The peasant, you could be a citizen in Rome and was dirt, man. If you couldn't come up with the money to feed yourself, like today, you'll starve to death. That was not, you couldn't think of Italy without tomatoes. But old girl said, man, they didn't have that back. These fools didn't see tomatoes until 1492. They ate whatever the rich folks gave them. Most of them was porridge, man. Porridge. And that was anything they poured in the bowl. Whatever. Eat it. It wasn't a lot of choices. You know what I'm saying? Rome was really ruthless on them folks. Now we're going to go to Rome. Life in Rome. Right?
Rome was the heart of a vast empire. It attracted in the poor and the itinerant from all over what we now call Italy and beyond. And if Marcus, our shoemaker, wasn't able to find work in Pompeii or Herculaneum, he may well have turned to the great city itself. If Marcus had come here, what would he have found? Surely life at the heart of the world's greatest empire must have been a bed of roses.
Rome conquers the whole of the Mediterranean basin. Between 200 BC and the birth of Christ, Rome moves from being the largest town of Italy to the capital of the whole of the Mediterranean. And by 0 BC, 1 AD, basically the whole wealth of the Mediterranean basin, from Spain to Egypt, Syria to Greece, is pouring into the city of Rome.
Rome sucked in all the wealth from the Mediterranean. And this created enormous disparities between not only the wealth of Rome and the outposts of empire, but also within Rome itself.
The city of Rome, it was immense by ancient standards. A million people, the streets were paved with gold. There was a vision that if you go to Rome, you can make a fortune. And no doubt some people did. But it was also a place where the mortality was fantastically high. You go to the baths, the sick people bathe first, then the women, then the men. It was like modern hospitals. That's where you catch a disease. Cleanliness and dirt go hand in hand. Great holes just outside the city in which corpses, shit, ordure from animals, carcasses from dead animals are just thrown all together. The smell must have been horrendous. So it's a place of opportunity, a place of dirt, a place of crime, but it's a place to which where you see temples glimmering with glistening gold roofs, palaces such as no one's ever seen, eyes opened.
Nothing Marcus would have seen in Pompeii could have prepared him for the sights of Rome. These buildings are on a totally different scale from anything he would have come across before. They flaunt the wealth and power of the men who built them. The Senate controlled the vast wealth of the Roman Empire, not for the benefit of people like Marcus, but for themselves. They operated like mafia dons, appropriating for themselves whatever they could get their hands on.
It was a bloody society in which basically emperors kill aristocrats. And in turn, aristocrats gather together and kill emperors. So it's a violent society at the top, very volatile, very unpredictable. But within that, the empire gets administered by aristocrats growing up to govern Britain or govern Germany.
I dig this, man. The reason why this is important to African people is because when they do their pledge in this land, they pledge it to the republic for which the flag stands. The republic they're talking about is this, the modern day version of the Roman Republic, the Roman Empire. Don't you see the very similarities? Streets paved with gold, but corpses of people dumped in the same holes with the corpses of animals. Huh? Don't you understand what this is about?
impossible for Roman citizens to spend all afternoon at the baths or every other day at the games. Could it be an effect of that secret economic weapon of the Romans, slavery? And if it was, what I'd like to know is, was it worse to be a poor but free Roman or a slave?
Most slaves were captured in battle, so there are obviously plenty of them. But how many? Could there really have been enough to do all the work that needed doing?
Well, there's an old estimate that says that for Italy as a whole, you have 3 million slaves in a population of 8. So 3 out of 8 people are slaves. This could be high. But certainly the last century BC, at least 1 million captives were sold as slaves, and many of them arrived in Italy. And we know that the big villas on the coast had staffs of 40 to 60 slaves. These had to be shipped to Italy, they had to be sold in slave markets, they had to be acquired by landlords. And this is without counting the more educated people, the Greeks and the household slaves and the tutors and, you know, dancing girls.
One place you can absolutely guarantee finding a slave in these baths is working here in the furnace. This is the hot spot, the really unpleasant spot to be in the baths. Massive grate.
The Greeks had 10 out of 11 in Athens were slaves. 10 out of 11. See, when you got an empire, you necessarily mean human exploitation. You necessarily mean the exploitation of anything. You necessarily. This is what when Madison, when they got through with the Constitution, according to the book by this white boy by the name of Jerry Frazier on the West Coast there, called Toward an American Revolution. He said, Madison said in that book, the Constitution is every bit of an imperialist document as there ever was. It's WTO friendly, y'all. Now, let's listen to a little bit more because we got a couple more minutes here about what Rome was about. And tell me if you don't see parallels.
Slavery was big business, very big business. Rome had plenty of millionaires, and Tacitus mentions a city prefect who had 400 slaves in his mansion. The whole Roman Empire rested on the sweating and beaten backs of its slaves.
It must feel horrid to be a slave in a society in which there are free people. So it's easy to think that slaves, the one thing that slaves wanted was to be free. And some people, some slaves, saved up for a lifetime to buy their freedom. That's certainly true. And always slaves were under the threat of being flogged or crucified, I mean killed. So that must have been terrible. But on the other hand, and Romans were conscious of this, once you were freed, you were responsible for finding your own food. So slaves were cared, had someone to care for them, which a free person didn't. The free people were by themselves.
There was no welfare state in ancient Rome, and the handicapped or deformed were more often than not singled out at birth.
Notice there are no orphanages in ancient Rome.
No need to have an orphanage, no need even to have contraception or to have abortion, because they frequently practice just exposure of children. Unwanted children, there is absolutely no reason why a mother should not expose a child. You're allowed to do it because the child may be malformed. You certainly wouldn't bring up a malformed child. You simply expose it and let it die.
Where would you put it? How would you expose it?
You might simply take it to the town rubbish dump.
Man, listen to this. Listen to these monsters, you know? And, you know, Dr. Shukamasa Bereshango teaches us that in Europe, they practice what they call polyandry, where they didn't have but so many females in any village. And so you could be subjected to exposure simply because, well, okay, we got enough females, because they was really anti-female in Europe, you know what I'm saying? And so if your mama had a girl, she'd have to take it out with the trash because they've had too many girls already. Can you imagine being so cold-blooded? Well, that's what they got going on here, y'all. The Roman Republic. About, you know, it's a little short version of a little bit about Rome. You know, but you know they had the Colosseums and stuff. Maybe we'll get together and talk about that, man. How they used to take folks and they take them down to these big old ballparks like y'all go to today. But they were ball amphitheaters back there. And like they would put people down in the yard to fight with animals and to make sure the animals would want to fight them, they would put blood on the people. Man, these clowns are just, whoo. That's why y'all be watching that football today. Y'all scared not to because them Romans will throw you. What's that one dude, Quigley? They said when during the games be going on, Quigley, you know, you be up in the stands. If you wasn't cheering, he can reach up there and grab you and throw you out of there. You know what I'm saying? How could you argue when the emperor grab you, right? You better not act like you want to argue. All right, it's time for us to acknowledge those who make it possible for so many to hear the Human Rights Patrol across the criminal enterprise called the United States and around the planet Earth. Now, I'm sure in our time on Earth, we probably come up with a more humane way of relating to folks. But, of course, we're not allowed to talk about our own opinion up in this land. We have to espouse the opinion of others. And, of course, you can see why everything is in the condition it is today. All you got to do is study yesterday, right? This is going to be the way it's going to be with the Europeans, man. That's all they know. You know, apparently, and I'm not going to argue with them, right? Kanadi, share with the folks who makes it possible for so many to hear the Human Rights Patrol across the criminal enterprise called the United States and around the planet Earth.
We're going to say Zalango to Human Rights Radio at 94.3 FM with Kaka Inko Uhuru and the listeners in the criminal enterprise called Durham, North Carolina, and the listeners in the criminal enterprise called Decatur, Illinois, at 99.9 FM, Human Rights Radio, Brown by Brother Lavelle. Also to those who listen at 103.3 FM, BVHP in the criminal enterprise called Bayview, Hunters Point, California, with Kaka Michael Hibbett and the crew. And at 96.3 FM, in the criminal enterprise called Santa Cruz, California, those who listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz with VMA and their staff. Let us also shout out to the folks who listen to Berkeley Liberation Radio, run by Paul Griffin and the crew. And to our newest listeners in the criminal enterprise called Dade County, Florida, at 102.9 FM, Zalango. And at this time, let me remind you, wherever you're listening, to thank those who made it possible. And also, invite all of you to check us out on the Real Wide Web at www.radio.about.com. Look for the Human Rights Information Network. Click on and hear even more Human Rights Radio.
See, our elders taught us that's why they had the heart to do what they did to us. Look at how they treated their own, man, taking their babies to the garbage and stuff. Man, please, that you don't even think of that on a... You know, even today, African people ain't got no money. We'll triple up on feeding each other. You know what I'm saying? Everybody gets something to eat when they with an African family. You know what I'm saying? No matter how bad it get, but they, nah, man, that ain't real. All right, again, give a shout out to folks that make it possible for you to hear the Human Rights Patrol, because they do be doing their work on the case, right? All right, we out of here, Kanadi. Thanks again. Hey, you want to drop that article? Folks might want to get that San Francisco Chronicle article. Time to time, we'll drop articles that might not have nothing to do with the show, but it does, because you don't think we came up with nothing better than Rome? Please. And you going to tell us in your paper that we was painting in the 35,000 years ago? Please, we're not that shallow. If you can do something in 500, please. Right?
Right.
So the only reason folks don't want to even acknowledge that because they truly subscribe to that view that African people ain't about nothing. Well, you can have that view if you want. But your problem is African people don't have that view no more. Right?
Right.
All right. All right, you give them the vitals.
It's from the San Francisco Chronicle, Friday, the 11th day of the first month of 2002 by David Perlman, and it's entitled Caves, Ancient Treasure, 77,000-year-old Artifacts Could Mean Human Culture Began in Africa.
Everybody already know it, but you know, hey, check it out. All right, she's in the studio with us tonight. She's a war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, co-producer of the Human Rights Patrol. That's Dada Kanadi Kintako. I'm Abana Kintako. We're in our 4,619th night of broadcasting here in the criminal enterprise called Springfield, Illinois, at 106.7 FM Human Rights Radio. And there is no question about it, right? You know by now that you're listening to the people's choice, because the people choose to listen to the Human Rights Information Network.
Remember the humanity?
We remember the humanity.
Glory and sufferings of our ancestors.
Glory and sufferings of our ancestors.
And honor the struggle of our elders.
And honor the struggle of our elders.
We will strive to bring new values.
We will strive to bring new values.
And new life to our people.
And new life to our people.
We will have peace and harmony among us.
We'll have peace and harmony among us.
We will be loving.
We'll be loving.
Sharing.
Sharing.
And creative.
And creative.
We will work.
We will work.
study.
Study.
And listen.
And listen.
So we may learn.
So we may learn.
Learn so we may teach.
Learn so we may teach.
We will cultivate self-reliance.
We will cultivate self-reliance.
We will struggle to resurrect.
And unify our homeland.
We will raise many children for our nation.
We will have discipline.
Patience. Devotion. And courage.
We will live as models.
To provide new direction for our people.
We will be free and self-determined.
We are African people.
Aluta!
Continua!
Continua!
Kufala!
Kufala!